This is the Dudes in Christ podcast. What's going on? Another episode of the Dudes in Christ podcast coming at you another Sunday morning. How's everybody doing this morning?
Pretty good.
Doing good.
Ready to rock.
Ready to rock. Setting on go, for sure. For sure, for sure. We're going to jump right back into the Word here at 2 Thessalonians 2. And see if we can go through this and talk about it. And see what we come up with. I hope everybody's been having a good week, enjoying this this weather. We thought it was just going to get hot and muggy last time, and then
now it's cold. Had a frost warning.
Change of mind again. So history repeats itself.
Yeah,
man. But let's jump right in. I know we don't have just a ton of time, but this is a very, very short chapter. But there's a lot of directions that it's possible that we might go, that you could go.
Yeah,
a lot of study that could happen. So let's just see where we go. May read it? Who wants to read?
I'll read through it.
All right.
So now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. Don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have had a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. Don't be fooled by what they say. For the day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Don't you remember that what I told you, about all this when I was with you? And you know what is holding him back, for he can be revealed only when his time comes. For this lawlessness is already at work secretly, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then a man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will kill him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of his coming. This man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit powers and signs and miracles. He will use every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. Then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing the truth. Verse 13. As for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that comes through the Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you both in person and by letter. Now, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say.
Amen. All right. So going back up to it, we if we were to continue in what the things that we've been talking about through 1st Thessalonians, 2nd Thessalonians, and even chapter 1, and then we had hit it off pretty direct. Now, dear brothers and sisters, let us clarify some things about the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and how we will be gathered to meet him. And so that coming of the Lord Jesus Christ is in the Greek, parousia. I'm probably mispronouncing that, but essentially, what it means is the presence of the Lord. You know, it's it's dwelling. It's a dwelling. It's not necessarily coming far as. Well, let's just go through. I don't want to sit here and sit on this one verse. The rest of it will kind of explain it. But don't be so easily shaken or alarmed by those who say that the day of the Lord has already begun. Don't believe them, even if they claim to have a spiritual vision, a revelation, or a letter supposedly from us. And we talked about this last week, how those, they're going out and the false teachers are have done just this. They wrote this this letter that was fake saying,
hey. And I have this note that says, day of the Lord is a biblical term for day of destruction.
Mm.
So we know, kind of reading through this, it starts making sense on the what they're explaining is AD 70 coming.
Yeah. And it is, if you look at that Greek word, parousia, it's the same word that's talked about in Matthew 24. Verse 3, as he said upon the Mount of Olives, his disciple came to us privately, saying, tell us when these things shall be, and what shall be the sign of the coming of the end of the age.
Yeah.
You're correct. It is the same language. I mean, every time it talks about coming in Matthew 24, it's the same exact wording. I could see that. And so, they're going against this letter of things that they're being told that has happened, and they miss the day of the Lord. They're being told really comfort in a way as they missed it, as there's not going to be destruction coming. And so you might view it differently as, oh, we missed the wonderful day of the Lord. But really the letter was to set them up for entering into this destruction without their guards up.
Right.
So this is not going to happen. Everything's fine. This destruction, it's already passed and gone. So here, you made it, type deal. Right. And so I want to read a few things that for one, if we know the timing of this, when the letter was written and the things that at this point had not happen yet that would have to happen. If I can find where I had it saved at.
Good luck, everything I've saved. I cannot find it.
Yeah, let me jump through here. Here we go. So anyone who paid attention, this is from Phil Kaiser. If you know, I use a lot of his commentary. Anyone who had paid attention to the Gospel of Matthew, which was the church at large, had already had it in their possession for 11 years. Or to the Gospel of Mark, which the church had for 6 years, would have known that a number of Christ's prophecies had not been yet fulfilled. Just to show how audacious these false teachers were, let me list some of the prophesied things that had to happen prior to AD 70's resurrection and judgment. And so this is the things that had not happened at that time.
Right.
So number one, Nero had to sign a 7-year covenant with Israel, the purpose of which would be to destroy the church. That would happen in AD 62, about 10 years after 2 Thessalonians was written. That happened at the instigation of the Jewish wife and the many Jewish advisors Nero had in his court. If God had not cut that Jewish started persecution short, no Christian would have survived, according to Jesus. Number two, another thing that had to happen was every eye had to see Christ's visible appearance in the sky accompanied by his fiery angels. That hadn't happened yet. If you remember, we talked about that happening in AD 70 when we go through the Revelation series. Yep. Third, there had not yet heard the trumpet that Jesus had promised and that Paul had promised that would happen. Fourth, they had not yet seen the massive earthquake. Remember us talking about that at the beginning of it. That was... heard through all out the Mediterranean. Fifth, the sun would have become darkened in midday and the moon would have turned blood red. These things have not happened yet. Sixth, there had to be a massive meteorite of showers. Seventh, Israel would have to get invaded by Rome. None of this has happened yet.
Right.
And it was prophesied it was going to happen. It just didn't, this is not going to happen now. God changed his mind on far as
that. Right, right.
Eighth, Nero would have to die and the empire fall and the revolutions happen in every part of the empire with a massive loss of life. And ninth, Jerusalem would have to be conquered and the temple be burned.
Yep.
So obviously, they were very false on the things that they were telling us. So it says, verse 3, don't be fooled by what they say, for that day will not come until there is a great rebellion against God, and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the one who brings destruction. He will exalt himself and defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. And so these two verses are a lot of things that I just read that had to happen and did happen. Of course, as human nature, we always want to say, who is that man of lawlessness, and who is that? And
then, right.
Whoever you read is going to probably disagree, but for the most of the post-millennials will either see that as Nero or Titus.
Yeah.
You see, obviously, Nero led, or, you know, Nero was the empire and began this destruction of Rome. Then you see Titus, the one leading it in. There's probably more evidence on Titus being in the temple of God at that time. But, I mean, either way, they're both two very evil characters were involved.
Well, it's referring back to Daniel 11 there, the day desecration, whatever, Daniel 11:31 and 11:36. And then he finished it out with 4. It said he will exalt himself, defy everything that people call God and every object of worship. He will even sit in the temple of God, claiming that he himself is God. Yeah. And I ran across this that in 168 BC, Antiochus sacrificed a pig and set up an idol of a foreign god in the temple. And then Titus did the same thing in AD 70. Mm-hmm. So Titus's army worshiped the ensigns, which are foreign idols of Rome and Caesar, in the temple and sacrificed a pig there as part of Salvaturia. Not only did Titus mimic Antiochus' original abomination that causes desolation, Titus also shares all of Antiochus's epithets. So he did the same thing, basically setting himself up in the temple.
Yeah. And if you remember, on us talking about Titus and Johanna and Josephus, you know, they were going around performing miracles inspired by demons. You know, they were doing things to deceive, you know, to try to win. And I think that's what led what you could call the great apostasy that it talks about. And was it verse 3, verse 4? For that day will not come until there's a great rebellion or apostasy against God and man, because, you know, you have these demon-possessed men that are going and trying to falsify the words that are being spoke by the apostles, and then you see them actually performing miracles. I mean, you see them doing it. And so there's a great deception that had happened, and ultimately, you know, the end result, you see their kingdom, if you will, in air quotes, Jesus Christ slayed that. You know, he came and wiped all that away. But there was a time where, you know, and it makes it so easy to not take this into now, which a lot of people do, because it even says in verse 4, he will even sit in the temple of God. Like this,
those Josephus things are no said longer. That. Josephus says that Titus entered the Holy of Holies with his generals in AD 70. Shortly thereafter, Titus was worshipped in the temple in AD 70, as was customary of someone declared imperator in fulfillment of 2 Thessalonians 2 and 4.
Yeah, and I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Pops, it even talks about that at the end of the Daniel 9. Mm-hmm. After this period of 62 sets of 7, the appointed one will be killed, appearing to have accomplished nothing, and a ruler will arise whose armies will destroy the city and the temple.
Exactly.
So you see them going in, like said Josh.
Well, and where the futurists take this is that this temple that he's talking about here hasn't been built yet. Mm-hmm. And so when this temple is built, you know, then this is when all this will take place, which does not gel with the with the whole of Scripture at all.
No.
And any temple that would be built now and sacrifices made now definitely would not be acceptable to God. It'd just be a slap in the face of Jesus for any other sacrifice to be acceptable in a temple. Anyway, the temple, I mean, in my opinion, is not going to be built. And this definitely is not talking about some futuristic temple thousands of years down the road, you know, that's to be built. I mean, we're what, 2000 plus years, past this, you know, this writing, and, it just doesn't gel with Scripture at all.
Well, you see, I mean, if you go to the context of the, of what we're reading here in Second Thessalonians, it's a lot of it. It's a very short. It's really a response to what we talk about, the false teachers that are talking about this day of the Lord.
Right.
And if it was something that was going to be 2,000 plus years later, why would there be a direct response from Paul in urgency to get and claim that? It just, if it was something that wasn't going to happen
right
relatively soon, why would you?
The Jewish war starts like 14 or 15 years after this is
right.
And so exactly. And so that's why he was urgently prepared to write another letter after he just finished his first one.
Right.
In response to that, to as it talks about, I believe in if it was the first chapter, but basically to remind you again,
right,
that these things will happen, and kind of lays that all out. Verse 5, don't you remember what I told you all about this when I was with you?
Yeah.
And you know what is holding him back? For he can be revealed only when his time comes, for this lawlessness is already at work secretly. All right, so this is already... plans are already starting to happen. Things are getting ready to be put in place, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. Then the man of lawlessness will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him by the splendor of the coming. So this is another one for the law. This lawlessness is already at work, and it will remain secret until the one who is holding it back steps out of the way. And then there's another whole, you know, the restrainer, as they call this, and who is that? Is it Christ? Is it things? And maybe, you know, it is possible. He doesn't, in him is no evil directing himself, but there's times where he's placed his hand off of a people. Why? Because of their rebellion and their,
right,
their killing of the prophets that he sent and things like that. So is Jesus the restrainer, possibly? Then the man of lawlessness, verse 8, will be revealed, but the Lord Jesus will slay him with the breath of his mouth and destroy him the splendor of his coming. And so if you do see Jesus as the great restrainer, okay, he allowed things to happen, but what did he ultimately do? He slayed them. So
right.
him removing his hand is possibly only so that he could wipe it out forever.
Right. You know,
totally. Verse 9, this man will come due to the work of the this man will come to do the work of Satan with counterfeit powers and signs and miracles. And we just talked about that earlier with Titus, Johanna, Josephus. With every kind of evil deception to fool those on their way to destruction because they refuse to love and accept the truth that would save them. So God will cause them to be greatly deceived, and they will believe these lies. And so that goes back to another. We're talking about that restrainer. Who will cause them to be greatly deceived? And so this is a lot. It's hard for people to kind of see that God had his hand on these things, but it's hard for us to see them because we don't understand the deception and the evil that was happening and the rejection of Christ that was happening in that day. Because nowadays it's the majority of people believe, you know, there's no question, there's no really deception. a lot of people may not live like they believe, but right. if you were to ask most people, did Jesus die on the cross for your sins? The answer would be absolutely. You know, there was no question.
Right.
Verse 12, then they will be condemned for enjoying evil rather than believing truth. But as for us, we can't help but thank God for you, dear brothers and sisters loved by the Lord. We are always thankful that God chose you to be among the first to experience salvation, a salvation that came through the Holy Spirit who makes you holy and through your belief in the truth. He called you to salvation when we told you the good news. Now you can share in the glory of our God, Jesus Christ. I think I mentioned this last week or a couple weeks. Just these guys here must really be some troopers. You know, Paul is constantly just thanking for them for their right. continuation, and so see it once again. With all these things in mind, dear brothers and sisters, stand firm and keep a strong grip on the teaching we passed on to you, both in person and by letter.
Yeah.
So you see how aggressive Paul is in his response to these things. That aggression only comes by something's soon about to take place.
Exactly.
Now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us by his grace, give us all eternal comfort and a wonderful hope, comfort you and strengthen you in every good thing you do and say. Amen. Very short, very direct. As you can see, there's a lot. There's a lot more in the surface, and we really just. I mean, we
kind of barely scratched.
We went through it pretty quick, but there's so much, and a lot of it we went through in the Revelation series, and you've seen directly those things, those events we talked about.
Yeah, I think it'd be Revelation 16 be the one. It's talking about these. That's kind of what I was seeing on. In chapter 13 and chapter 16, you'd see a lot of what this kind of what he outlined here.
Yep. So if you're listening, go back. Go back, check it out. 13, 16. You'll have more, a whole lesson on some of these things instead of just a quick overview. But as we next week, we'll go and finish 2 Thessalonians. We'll finish it up. There's only three chapters here, and then we'll probably have conversation as to which direction to go next. Y'all have any thoughts?
No.
Good stuff.
No thoughts. Yeah, we'll make a decision. See which way we go. Anyway, I'll quit babbling. Everybody, all minds clear.
Yeah. Too early to be scrambled.
Yeah, I've had no caffeine this morning, actually, as well. It's probably why I can talk without mixing my words up so much. All right, well, love you guys, and we'll catch you next week.